Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahaya, on Radio Islam International. So our topic this morning is something that has been the cause for lots of stress and anxiety by almost every matriculant, obviously by their parents, educators, and the country at large. We are talking about matric finals. Are you ready? So normally this time of the year, we always talk about study tips for matriculants, getting parents as well as matriculants and educators emotionally, psychologically, and physically prepared for this big exam. But this year, our learners were thrown in the deep end. Not just the learners, the whole world at large. Obviously, reason being COVID-19. So being a matriculant in 2020 and COVID-19, the challenges were even greater than what matriculants normally face. Yes, there's anxiety. Yes, there's stress. Hoping to get the marks that you've been working for because you want to get into university and all these other things that matriculants normally prepare for. But COVID-19 has been such a curveball, which we all know about. But alhamdulillah, it's been such a pleasure hearing from colleagues who teach matric children. It's been such a pleasure hearing from management teams that no matter what, despite whatever challenges the learners were dealt with this year, they managed to succeed. Because you know what? At the end of the day, whatever comes your way, you say, this is from the Almighty Allah. And you know what? I can do this with the support of their educators. And another thing that we have to pay tribute to today as well is to the educators who normally during the year when they are teaching a matric class go the extra mile. This year, they went a further extra 10 miles. So to discuss this topic, I have two very amazing guests who always have so much to share with our listeners. First, we have Mr. Abdullah Suji, who is the principal of Roshni Islamic School, and he's obviously going to be sharing a management perspective because management was also really thrown in the deep end. And then our next guest is Brother Imran Karolia, who is a high school educator and online educator of Star Student Essay. So, between these two gentlemen, we're going to talk about managing stress for parents, because obviously when your child is writing their matric finals, it's like you're going through exams as well. We're going to be talking about mental, emotional, physical preparation. We're going to be talking about challenges faced by teachers this year. We're going to talk about COVID-19 and how the matric year has passed. So if you would like to share any of your views with us, please feel free to call us on 011-854-1548. And we look forward to hearing from you. I'm going to start with you, Brother Abdullah Suji. How are you this morning? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And jazakallah for having me onto the program. And I think it's going to be a riveting discussion. I'm well, thank you.
Ameen. Ameen. Always a pleasure. From a school principal's point of view, really thrown into the deep end this year. How do you feel that the grade 12 learners at your school, how have they coped from an emotional perspective?
Well, thank you for that pertinent question. I think emotionally they were not prepared primarily because they did not write a June examination. They did not have the rigor of a full term in school. They did not have the contact classes with teachers regularly on a continuous basis. So they're caught within a very difficult situation, and I would say it's between a rock and a hard place. Yeah. The hard place is hard, you know.
Yeah.
Having said that, emotionally they're not entirely prepared because too many things are happening. And from a management perspective, I think I should put it out there, many schools, particularly private schools, wrote a pre-trial exam, or what we call a mock exam, as soon as children returned to school.
Mm.
And in our school, for example, we did that. So children had that anxiety of an exam, so they had the build-up towards the exam. So when the trial examination hit them, they were emotionally prepared for it. However, not at the extent that they should be, but it created the necessary anxiety that you need to sort of spur you on.
And what was the performance like, if you don't mind sharing with us?
Well, it was not dismal, put it that way.
Okay.
It was a wake-up call to the students to realize that failure is there. And if you're not going to work hard, then you're going to see the reality of what it is to earn low marks. And those of the pupils who worked very hard actually began to understand their need to be self-reliant and to understand the concept of self-study and applied. So you had that scenario playing out. The hard worker will always work hard, and the shirker will always be where they are. So the emotional side, Bibi Aisha, is further complicated by the reality that this particular trial examination really is proving to be a problem, because, in fact, we are told that most of the papers have leaked via the WhatsApp message line or the email line, because the department did not give us hard copies that we had to pick up at nodal points and deliver it to the school, or we picked it up. So we're hearing stories of an entire trial examination paper going out on a WhatsApp and pupils getting it a day before, or perhaps 3 hours before. These are all circumstantial evidences, but it's pointing out to that. So emotionally now, they are not entirely prepared on being self-reliant. Mm. However, now they're being reliant on the possibility that they'll get the other paper to them. And mm-hmm. they'll be able to sort off a paper and go with that into the examination. And I think, and I'm putting it out there, perhaps whoever is listening and who have context, they can put out an investigation on that.
On something like that. Generally during this period of lockdown, you know, when this was declared, then your learners were still going through online learning, am I correct? I mean, there were lessons that were still being carried on. So as much as the work was there, a lot of the work, like you say, had to be done independently because they obviously weren't in their classes.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very true. The online curriculum, I mean, the online teaching carried on. Now, fortunate for those who are in independent schools and schools that can have that latitude, online teaching went on. Mm. Whether it was a Google Classroom network or whether it was on any other platform, but it went on. And even with the alternating days, the online teaching carries on.
Yes.
But what is enhancing that online teaching is the actual face-to-face teaching in classes, in schools at the moment, and that is enhancing the relationship between teacher and pupil, and pupil and curriculum. And they're beginning to have this different exposure to what it is to be a student, you know?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of that emotional support that the learners need, they will obviously get it when they're face-to-face with the teacher. That environment, that atmosphere that's created of calm and motivation will want the learners to perform better.
No, of course, I think you could not have said it better. Having to add to that is the fact that, you see, with the lockdown that occurred, many people, including adults, lost a great deal of the interpersonal skills.
Mm.
And children also lost that skill of becoming, that skill of questioning, that skill of interacting, that skill of becoming, the skill of what I would say, you know, being eloquent with yourself and others. So those skills being lost had to be caught up, had to be enhanced within the school environment in a very short space of time. Given that scenario, pupils were now coping with issues that were happening at home. Mm. Remember, education doesn't happen in a silo. We have seen a lot of children going through traumatic times because of COVID. People have got severe comorbidities in their home. There were fatalities. There were this. There was that. You know, everything permeated the scenario, from divorces to broken homes to drug abuse to what have you. And children were now in the face of all these brutalities at home, human rights violations. You know,
we're just saying there's a lot of trauma that they needed to deal with. And unfortunately, you know, we tend to forget that, especially when it comes to the matric class, so to speak, a lot of the emotional support they actually get from their peers, which to some degree was compromised now because of COVID. You know, they could have probably had a WhatsApp group or they're chatting on the phone. But that interaction that was missing there also played a big role in dealing with the issues that they were faced with.
Yes, absolutely. And remember, I used those very big words primarily to indicate the fact that they were looking at the news and watching all the violence from all over the world. So they come with this reality that South Africa or wherever they are listening can become like that.
Mm.
So they fear disruption. They fear, they fear this, what I would call antisocial behavior, becoming very high. I mean, if you look at South Africa currently, what's happening in Senegal, what's happening with the Black Lives Matter movement and the political corruption that's happening and the Zondo Commission, all these things the children were exposed to in small bits.
Yes.
So they have this very clouded view of the world, and they're living in this phobic world. And really they're coming with all of that to the school in degrees of trauma.
And I'm glad that you're highlighting that, because often that's what, you know, maybe we have people that are not in the teaching fraternity that don't realize that when a child enters your classroom, be it a matriculant, a grade one child, they're coming to learn, they're coming to get this academic education, but they're coming with all of this as well.
Absolutely. That's why the child mustn't be seen as an isolated person.
Definitely.
Coming in only to write the matriculation.
Yes.
Because this very child is going to go out in the workplace. And
the reality
to this.
Most definitely.
Million.
Most definitely. We're going to come back to you, Abdullah Suji. Okay, Imran, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Youth Talk.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Always a pleasure, Sister Bibi Aisha.
Always a pleasure having you. Now, you come from a different scenario in the sense that you are from a public school, you are a matric teacher, online educator, so you can tell us a little bit about both those scenarios. But also that, you know, Mr. Suji highlighted about the trial exam, because the matric trial exam was the first exam that the matriculants wrote for this year amidst their uncertainty of what was going to happen. Do they go back to school, online education? You know, all these points that we've been talking about so much. Please share some info about that with us.
Yeah, so the 2020 matric year, Sister Bibi Aisha, I mean, quite abnormal just by the fact, and if you have to take the assessment point of view, is that on a normal year, you would have three exams, right? So it will be June trials, finals. And this year, it was only two exams, so trials and finals. Now, for the vast majority of South African matric students, there wasn't that mock exam, you know, immediately returning to school after the lockdown. So what the first exam actually does is that, you know, it puts you in that environment, it gets you going. And I always say that the first exam that you write in your matric year, usually the June exam, would be the most challenging, because it's syllabus, and then all of a sudden you're writing an exam. Now, in this case, the time period between trials and finals, I mean, some papers are still have to be written this week, and then you just give it, I don't know, about 10 to 15 days, and then we begin finals. So I think what it is about an exam, it gives you time to fix, it gives you time to consolidate, it gives you time to master, you know. So if you remove that entire June exam scenario, learners have to take the opportunity to maximize on what the trial exam taught them, you know. But on average, in terms of performance, I think based on my interactions with many other students, you're looking at about a 5 to 10% shortage of educator targets.
Mm-hmm.
And if you then consider lockdown learning and alternatives, for example, the students we have, OnStar students, they say learning remotely with us. Alhamdulillah, we've seen great success where, you know, they've been messaging and giving us their trial marks. And alhamdulillah, it's been nothing short of extraordinary.
And I think what people probably, you know, I'm sure a lot of students have been doing this, whether it's been their families motivating them or the educators or just the general public, is, you know, despite COVID-19, you got this. You can do this.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, and when you are speaking about, you know, that advice for mental, physical, and the psychological aspects, it does come down to exactly what you just said. You've got this. Now, let's take the scenario right now. I mean, the term ends this coming week, you know. So it's about getting organized, printing your papers, your memos, getting sorted for your studying sessions. Understand that you need to maximize on the studying sessions that are coming up, you know. So it's about getting sorted. And then the normal things, you know, in terms of the physical aspects, avoiding the big meals before you're studying, and knowing your optimum time of the day for studying. For some, it's early in the morning, others late at night. I mean, there's 19 days left for finals. It's almost like we're now going this year, you know. And then I think when we talk about cell phones this year also, I mean, it has really played a part in enhancing learning. Lots of WhatsApp information coming through. So during this time, I think use your cell phone so that it would enhance learning and maximize on your studying sessions. But if you're going to get caught up on the social pages and the memes pages and stuff, then really it will be a thief of time. But when you say you got this, Sister Bibi Aisha, what the grade 12s need to realize, and really, and I mean this, the worst is over. The first exam for the year is normally the most challenging. And if you got through the trial exams, and now you are able to learn from whatever you did in the trial exam, then let me tell you, finals will be slightly easier.
definitely. And I got a message here from one of the listeners who the person is saying, and I don't have children in matric, but obviously every child out there is our child, and we're making dua for the students. So this person just wanted to know, they were just confirming, I think independent schools start writing exams this week. Am I correct, Mr. Suji? The IEB exams, 21st?
The IEB, from what I'm told, yes, they do start earlier than us, probably in the first week of November.
Okay.
They do start, and they write for a longer period because, they write for also the same duration of time, but they start earlier.
Okay, and the other question was, like sort of an obvious question is, what happens if a learner tests positive for COVID-19 during the exam period? So what happens with the rest of the exams? Would they have to write a supplementary exam? Because I think that's also what a lot of people are anxious about. Unfortunately, it's not something we can control that is in the hands of Allah if you're going to get ill. But if you could just shed some light about that, please.
Thank you. Thank you for that question. Look, that's a very difficult one to answer because we don't know how it will pan out. Because if you are COVID positive, then your quarantine starts immediately.
Mm.
And obviously, we need to look at how on retrospective tracing, how it affected the people in the classroom at the time. So most definitely, the child will miss those papers that they are going to write, that they will miss. They will miss those papers that they're supposed to write in the period. And most definitely, I think they will have to rewrite next year because I don't see a period as to where they will write this examination because we're starting on the 15th of November and you could end around the 15th of December. So if there's a chance for the child to write, it becomes critical as to when the child must write, under what conditions they must write, and how the paper must get to the marking centers.
Exactly.
So the logistics are immense and very, very refined because if you don't get it right this time, you can create a big problem. And that's one of the reasons why we tell the children to stay at home, be safe. And while we're in level one, it doesn't mean you can go around and do your own thing and go everywhere and get holidays.
Mm.
Because you don't know what are the comorbidities of people where you visit. So I would imagine a child becoming COVID positive, that child's examination, in my opinion, is going to be marginalized. And it's not going to be an easy road from there. In the best case scenario, if they recover very well, the risk factor is still there because recovery after the COVID is not very quick.
Mm.
And, remember also the teachers themselves are also at risk. So if they become affected in this period, the marking process becomes delayed if
they
have people marking.
So those are other challenges also that, we need to take into consideration. That these are possibilities that they can arise.
Yes, of course. And that is why I think it's important that we look at this whole scenario holistically and ask ourselves, what must we do that's good? And I would always say, on the side of caution rather than on the side of retribution and problems. So rather stay at home, be safe, and do what you have to do. And avoid group study, avoid going to too many tutors also face-to-face because you don't know what are the comorbidities because as we speak now, I'm talking from independent schools and also public schools, many children have went on holiday because the rates are cheaper.
So they went
for 1 week and 2 week holidays and they are returning from whichever province they're coming from and now who they were in contact with and whatever they did obviously will play into the hands of becoming reckless.
Like you said, the reminder that, there still has to be social distancing. And the reminder is that we're not out of the woods yet, far from it, actually.
Absolutely.
Inshallah, we will be carrying on, inshallah, after the break. We'll be talking about study tips that our matriculants can implement. And inshallah, if you have any comments that you'd like to share with us, please do call us on 011-854-1548. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Leher. And this morning we're talking about matric finals. Are you ready? My guests are principal from Roshni Islamic School, Mr. Abdullah Suji, and high school educator and online educator from Star Student SA, Imran Karolia. We've been inundated with messages from lots of matriculants, even parents who are very, very overwhelmed right now because the matric exams is not just the student. It's the educators, it's the management teams, it's the parents, it's the family. We kind of all go through this exams together. So a question from a caller from Ladysmith who's actually asking, it's Alana, saying, how do you get the motivation needed to get through to the end of the year? Imran, can you please answer this question? You've been a matric teacher for many years. You probably have many children who have asked you this question so many times. What is your advice?
Yes, most definitely. And it was also one of the, you know, prominent questions that came out when we did our Matric Success 2020 workshop at the beginning of the year. Mm. And it comes down to values. What is a value? A value is what is important to you. And there is a hierarchy of that. So you write down what's important to you from the top to the bottom. And it could be family. And it could be, I don't know, your social life, etc. And it's different for different people. And I always tell grade 12s, throughout the matric year, at some point, matric NSC 2020 will be your highest value. And when you have that highest value, you'll find that if you act in accordance with that, right, it will minimize chaos. You'll find that there'll be a lot more order. And then when you talk about motivation, the motivation you get would be intrinsic. So basically, you will become your own motivation if the matric exam, particularly now towards, you know, going to the end of October, will become your highest value. Now, the successes and challenges throughout this particular matric year are relative. Mm-hmm. And if different people have different challenges and you have different targets, then it means when you summit and when you get to your peak at the end of it, it will be different for different people. So basically, everybody would have a different Everest. Now, it's all about the target that you would sort of, you know, set for yourself. And then if you do achieve that target, then it means you've summited your own Everest at the end of the year. So given the challenges for COVID-19, I truly believe, you know, and this is, I mean, only another student or only another educator will understand the challenges faced by students and educators this year. Mm-hmm. But I do really honestly feel that they will go down in history as the most memorable cohort of matric students ever.
Absolutely.
So to the student who asked the question, inshallah, I do pray that you will find your own motivation. And guess what? You will find it. And it may have happened already for some students, and it's going to happen for a few students. When it becomes your highest value, trust me, you'll be your own motivation.
Alhamdulillah, that's so well said. Really, really well said. Mr. Suji, would you like to add to that?
Jazakallah for that question from the listener. Well, to get motivated for any matric examination, and if you want to get involved in the life of the child, I think every child must at some point in time have a life goal. Mm. Now, what happens is that I do life goal planning sessions with the children in the school, and it takes quite a lot of time. And without a life goal plan, by the definition of it, you're not going to succeed because you'll be shooting in the dark, you know.
Mm. Mm.
So life goal planning is something our children don't really know much about. And I've done life goal planning sessions with children, and I find that when they have a life goal plan, which evolves year on year, day on day, you will find that what happens, they now begin to see reality for what it is. You know, it's interesting to think of Voltaire, you know, the Enlightenment philosopher of the, they call him a philosopher too, of the French Revolution. And he wrote the book Candide, you know, with Candide, to put it that way. And he says that optimism is not only the skill that you need, it's hard work as well.
Of course.
And it's a wonderful book to read as well. But the point made is that if you want to be optimistic and if you want to be passionate about something, you need to have a life goal. So a life goal statement is what you need, firstly.
That I'm writing this exam because this is what I want to achieve. I want to go to varsity or I want this career.
Yes.
Obviously, that's the final.
Yes, obviously. And that's basically a life goal statement that has a time frame of 2021 to the end of 2021.
Hmm.
But beyond that, the life goal must also pursue you to think beyond that. Because remember, you're living in this world with hundreds of people who themselves are fighting for the same space.
Hmm.
And it is only the ones with grit, as Angela Duckworth in a book called Grit mentions, that grit and perseverance and persistence is what you need to become optimistic as well. So the listener out there, I think you need to sit down and write what is your specific life goal between now and the end of the year, and how that in itself must project you to a career path or to a vocation beyond that. Because remember, I just want to say this very quickly, you have 1 million students writing this matric examination. You have, well, I'm just using big numbers, you have 26 universities out there, including FET colleges and TVET colleges. Now, you do the math. 26 of this can only take probably 100,000 out of the million. What happens to the other 900,000? Where do they join? What do they do? So if you're not going to have an effective life goal that can spur you on to greater things, you're going to be like every Tom, Dick, and Paul, looking for a job or looking for some handout or trying to make it because you believe you come from a bloodline that gives you home. And that doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
It's being realistic, setting realistic goals. Yeah. That's excellent.
Absolutely.
Yes. Imran, I think a question that a lot of the listeners are asking now, you know, please share with us last-minute study tips that we can implement to get the best out of this exam. So, Imran, please go for it.
Okay, the biggest step I have right now is this thing about receiving your trial papers. Now, there may be a few papers left, and, you know, school's going to close at the end of the week for the third term holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So receiving your trial papers is not only looking at your mark. Your trial papers and a good analysis of it will result in an action plan. So what do I mean by that? You see, an exam, like I mentioned previously, allows you to fix, consolidate, and master. And it's different for different subjects. So what you want to do is you want to really analyze, and SPA tasks and trial papers cannot be removed from the school. So you can photocopy, take a picture of it or something like that. And then you sit with your teacher and maybe even your parents and you break it down section by section. And that will tell you what you need to do now. So basically, for example, if I got 2 out of 10 in one section and 10 out of 10 in the other section, you know exactly what you need to do this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
You need to print past papers of those 3 sections. So what are you effectively doing is that you are saving time, you are maximizing your output, you are studying smart, you are alleviating stress and pressure because you are doing whatever is needed to be done, and that will ensure great success. Please, grade 12, make an appointment with your teachers. Get your trial papers, write down section by section what you've scored, and that eventually will give you your action plan for the next 2 weeks.
That's excellent. But, you know, before I go on to Abdullah again, I need to ask you something which is also very important. We touched on it briefly earlier. When we talk about that preparation for exams is not just this where we're studying. There's mental preparation. There's emotional preparation. Again, lack of sleep is not going to help you. If you're going to be having a certain diet that's high in sugar, you're going to have this rush. So again, what else can you share with our students that are tuned in today and even their parents? Because, I mean, the parents are with them. Often, you know, mom and dad want to offer comfort food and they're back in call to say, okay, eat this, drink this, it'll give you energy. What would you like to say to those students? And their parents.
And also their parents, you know, like when it comes to parental support, I would say sit down and engage. You know, if you have a learner writing a grade 12 national senior certificate exam in your house, then obviously everybody in the house needs to be on the same page in terms of, you know, respecting time and space and, you know, all of those things. So when we say sit down and engage with your parents and going through those papers, etc., then you have a target for each section, for each paper, and for each subject. Put it up on the fridge. You understand?
Mm.
So what you're actually doing is that you're making sure that your parents, together maybe even with your school, so your teachers and management, etc., you're all on the same page. You're working towards a goal. You have a goal for each paper. You have a goal for each subject. You understand? And you know what happens when you do that, Sister Bibi Aisha?
Mm-hmm.
All the expectations will be realistic. Nothing will be far-fetched. You know what you need to do. I mean, going up 20%, for example, in home language or first additional language, it's probably unheard of from trial to final. You understand? But it is possible if you have certain targets that become realistic. Everyone is aware of that. You know what you're capable of. You know how much time you have over the next few days, etc. And then when everybody's on the same page, trust me, everybody will respect you, your time, what you need to do, your space, etc. And that will ensure great success.
And also importance of rest and relaxation. And you need a timeout. I know you're not a very big fan of that timeout. When I say timeout, you like, you know, that eyebrow always goes up. And you're like, but you know what I mean. You need to take that break as well and just do something outside or whatever that just calms you down for a little bit, because there has to be the breather. That's very important. There has to be the breather.
Please have your breather, et cetera. I mean, you know, but what I'm saying is that now you're not going to sit for 20 hours every day. It's impossible.
Yes.
I'm about smart studying, making sure whatever you're doing is what you're supposed to do. So you're analyzing whatever you've done, so you know what needs to be done. And then you're probably doing, what, 2-3 activities? And then how long will it take you to do something like that? Let's say English Home Language Paper 1. It should take you nothing more than 35 minutes. You're done for the day. Move on to another subject. Move on to another section.
Good time management also. Very important.
Definitely.
Good time management. Mrs. Suji, when it comes to parental involvement, like Imran mentioned, that's very good that there must be communication and we're all on the same page. But let's be realistic that when it comes sometimes, we're not generalizing, we're just saying sometimes, when it comes to parental expectations, especially now with COVID, you know, you got those learners who are probably aspiring that they want to, you know, hit the 8 A's and, you know, they want to get into the medical faculty or the sciences or whatever it may be. Inshallah, we pray that Allah, you know, grants success to all our learners. But the realistic expectations from parents, you know, you as management, you must have had interaction with parents, especially the matric learners' parents. What do you say to them?
Well, you must understand the fact that all children cannot be doctors, and all doctors cannot be all South African too. You know, our people must realize that with the current COVID situation, new careers have erupted. And people have taken to the online, they've taken the home industries very seriously. So there is a vocation market opening up there in the skilled industry, from fitting and turning to being a good carpenter and a good painter, because you become your own boss. And remember, all of us cannot be teachers as well. So the parents must be realistic as to what the job market can offer out there. Because remember, the economies are contracting worldwide. Look at the airline industry, look at your home industry, everything is contracting. And if you're going to have this unrealistic expectation that my child is going to drive a Lamborghini after studying, you need to look at what is the reality out there. The reality out there is the following, that your skills market is very wide and open. For example, if you take the hair industry, the Pakistani, Bangladeshi, and you know, the Indian person have come in, they've opened up hairdressing salons for men across South Africa, and they've made a living out of it. And that market is almost impenetrable for us who are not skilled. Further to that, you can look at the number of immigrants that have come into our country. They have made it, they are becoming very accessible to all types of menial work. And further to that, they've become skilled artisans, and we are failing in that sector. Businesses are failing as well. The small business that was on the street corner no more produces that amount of income that they used to. So I would tell the parent that look at the vocation out there. Look at the FET colleges and see what they're offering. Look at the TVET colleges and see what they're offering. Get the child a skill, because the skill is going to make the child independent.
Absolutely.
Because the fourth industrial revolution, while it has hyped up the industry of technology, it has not really given a vent to the skilled market that is going to be laid open. You try today in Indonesia or even wherever you are, try to get a skilled electrician or a carpenter to do something on time.
Yes.
It's hard to
yes.
find that.
And also with COVID now, you know, it's also shown us that you know what, this boom, this rise in entrepreneurship, you know, like if there's a gap in the market for something, you have the skill, you know, go for it and grab those opportunities.
Absolutely. I just want to mention that I have a particular student in the school who's a web developer, and further to get a web enhancer, whatever it is. And he's making some money on the side with that. Now, if he continues on that trajectory while studying whatever his career is going to be, he'll have this as a passion on the side.
Definitely.
Which will give him leverage into the entrepreneurial market.
Most definitely.
So the parents must start looking beyond the traditional careers as the end-all and be-all of the success of the child. Because if they're going to look at becoming a doctor and lawyer and all of that, remember, I just want to give one scenario. They say, I just don't get the program at the moment out now, but it's out in the U.S., that in less than 20 seconds, you can get a legal opinion. So that program is actually replacing so many of the law faculty. And similarly, with medicine, many people are going into robotics and artificial intelligence, and surgical operations are being done on artificial intelligence. So in Africa as a main, there's so much to do.
True. And I'm glad you're mentioning this, because if you're thinking of a career choice right now, like say what you may have planned in January and circumstances in this year, you'll have to change. And the other thing is also your chosen career can be replaced by an app. So very, very good point that you brought up.
I just want to add this, and then probably you'll take on to the next point. You know, I would recommend to parents, start getting your child to learn another language.
We introduce
French in our school to start it up, to see what the figures are going to be, and Arabic and another language, because across the borders of Africa, the lingua franca is French and Arabic, and there are job markets opening up in all parts of Africa, and we have to break away from the stereotyping that we cannot go there and work.
Yes.
You know, whether it's Rwanda. Rwanda is an exceptional example of a growing economy, and if you've got the right expertise, you can go there and work. And look at how the economy...
Definitely. Mr. Tsuji, I need to now take the spotlight on to, I think, the unsung heroes. And, you know, last week we were celebrating World Teachers Day, and I think the world at large have looked at educators now very, very differently. So I'm going to ask Imran, and I'm going to ask you also from a management point of view just now. Like we said, especially for teachers in the matric year, you always are putting in that extra effort. You know, you want your learners to perform well. But this year, you know, we must say, take hats off to the teachers, particularly the matric teachers who have went the extra 10 miles. Imran, what are your thoughts right now? I mean, being a matric teacher, you know what it's like. You know what you've given off to your learners. You have your expectations. What would you like to say to your colleagues?
You know, it was stressful. You know, especially with matric teachers teaching other grades, this week was insane with the deadlines and, you know, the expectations of the other grades. Then you're dealing with rotational timetable and all of those things. But here's the thing. We had a lockdown. And then for public schools, there was an extended lockdown. And I'm going to come, it comes down to this. 2020 is the year of the educator. No doubt.
Yes.
Sister Bibi Aisha, what I've been hearing, and based on my interactions with other educators, you know, it has been nothing short of extraordinary, really. Because what teachers have done this year, given challenges, given the distance, given, you know, absenteeism, given learners who were sick, given learners who were anxious, providing support, there's no doubt in my mind, and I'm going to say it again, 2020 is the year of the educator.
I think that's well said. I can already hear my phone beeping with messages where people are feeling so good. Because when it comes to educators, we have often been overlooked. That's just the teacher. That's their job. They're supposed to do it. But like we said, after this year, people have really looked at teachers very differently. And given the circumstances under which teachers needed to work this year, alhamdulillah, I'm an educator myself. I see it from my colleagues, and especially with matric teachers. We are resilient. We are adapt very well to change. We have to. We don't have a choice. So
yes, most definitely. And you know, it's teachers right from primary school, maybe even pre-primary, going right up until grade 12. The only person that will understand what a teacher went through this year is another teacher. Kudos to all the teachers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them with infinite blessings from now till the end of time, because that's what they deserve.
Ameen. I like said, all their efforts, ameen, and yours included. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Mr. Tsuji, final words of advice to our matric students that are listening in today. What would you like to say to them?
I must echo the sentiments of Brother Imran on the teachers. Alhamdulillah, they did a sterling job. And one must not forget the headmasters and
mentors. And you're not just saying this because you're a principal, right?
No,
you're not just saying that.
No.
But you are right.
As the chair of the principal's forum, when we sit in those Zoom meetings and Microsoft Teams meetings, we realize the stress that the principals and headmasters carried in this very difficult time. So kudos to them as well. To the matriculant, I would say again to you, put your trust in Allah. That's the first thing. Follow the example of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because he was resilient in all circumstances. And then look at his goals and ask yourself, in the most difficult of times, he achieved the best as well. So in relation to his sufferings, yours are minute. And in his name, you can achieve great things because, I mean, in his example, you can achieve great things. So look at the bigger picture and say, the fact that my Nabi of Allah achieved, after the achieved the Battle of Badr, achieved Taif, and achieved the Quran to be recited as we do today, surely I can do the same. I mean, I can do what I have to do to get through my matric. Mm-hmm. And I can do this because I have an example to follow. So in conclusion, to the matriculant, take Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as your role model, and there you are not going to be short. You are not going to be shortchanged to be given countless examples of
how you can be successful. Yes, encourage, definitely. Yes.
That's why I say to you, for your breather, as Brother Imran was saying, I like that point. For your breather, have the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at your bedside. Sirat al-Mustafa is a good example of 3 volumes, and just read a chapter to take a breather. And then realize that your suffering and your sacrifices in comparison to the one for whom this world was enlightened and given grace, yours and mine are minute. But when you look at that and read that,
yes,
you can go great places. Jazakallah for a wonderful program. And
Ameen.
Thank you for having me on the program.
Ameen. 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 May Allah reward you for your efforts, Ameen. Inshallah, and your dynamic team. Alhamdulillah. Ameen. Imran. Yo, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imran, your message to our students that are listening in.
To this grade 12 listening in, we know it's been challenging. Only you know how it's been challenging, like, you know, the level of challenges you needed to go through this year. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, and I'm so glad you had the perfect timing, Sister Bibi Aisha, with the show, because there's still time to
get things done. That's the whole idea. There is still time.
That's the thing. And you know what? They will achieve. No doubt, they will achieve. If you make it your highest value, if you prioritize, you will find that intrinsic motivation we spoke about, and there's no doubt in my mind that you will achieve great success. You know, the type of learning and methodologies this year have changed. You've become accustomed to new things. You've become accustomed to new ways of learning, etc. And you know what? It will benefit you in the end. No doubt, my biggest worry is that the learners really achieve whatever the expectations are, it's far surpassed that. And inshallah, they will do very well. And for anyone who wants to get in touch with us through our website on starstudentsa.co.za.
For further information, definitely. Jazakallah khairan, Brother Imran. Always a pleasure having you on Youth Talks. You always share such excellent pearls of wisdom with us. May Allah accept your efforts, inshallah.
Ameen. Thank you, Sister Bibi Aisha, for your efforts and the team at Radio Islam International.
Ameen. Thumma ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. You know, to our listeners, I just want you to pause one moment, and I want you to remember that the behind the scenes, we tend to forget. You know, alhamdulillah, I have many district officials who are my personal friends, and we forget that, you know, this has been a year of so much of change and challenges for everybody. You know, it's the student, it's the educators, it's the school management teams, the school governing body, it's the district officials as well. Everyone's just been in the middle with lots of anxiety, not knowing what to do next, and everyone is just trying their best to keep everything together. And I think, alhamdulillah, we've done a sterling job. So hats off to everybody in the education fraternity for pulling this off, and you know, most importantly to our students. My dua for you is may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with better than what you pray for, and may you be choose a career or choose a path where you are of benefit to humanity, where you please Allah, and most importantly, you're doing what you're doing with integrity, with honesty, and it's something that makes you happy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your efforts, increase you in knowledge, wisdom and understanding, and fulfill all your needs, inshallah. On behalf of myself and my sound engineer, Hafiz Shuaib Haji, we wish you a good week ahead. Please remember us in your duas, and inshallah, we will chat again next week. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.